We're going to be in Mark chapter 13, verses 14 through 23 today. And the title of the message is Run to Your Refuge. And get more into that as we go along here. But what we looked at last week and what we're going to look at this week, and then on the 31st, after Evan's last message on the 24th, we're going to be in Mark 13 through all of that time. And all of it deals with the end times. And I've addressed the fact that not all people, certainly not all pastors even, agree on the timeline here. Some say that what we're going to be reading today is happening in the midst of the Great Tribulation. Some say that what happens today is going to lead to the Great Tribulation. Some say that Christians will already be raptured up into eternity in heaven, and that the only ones who will be left to endure what we're going to look at here today are those who didn't accept Jesus before this takes place. And there's lots of other sub-opinions about that in the middle of all that, and I'm not going to take any particular position and tell you this is the way it is, because I don't know. But what I am going to say is what I said last week several times, and I want to say again here today. We all need to be ready, and we all need to be certain that people that we know and love, and maybe even people we don't like, are also ready. And that's really what our job as a church is to make sure that the world is ready for whatever takes place and whenever it takes place. We've already been introduced to the chapter, so I'm just going to dive right in, starting in Mark chapter 13, verse 14. And these are the words of Jesus throughout today. It says, "So when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down into the house, nor enter to take anything out of the house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter, for in those days there will be tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the creation which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened those days. Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'Look, he is there,' do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, and if possible, even the elect. But take heed. See, I have told you all things beforehand." Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you so much again for this day that you've given us and for the beauty of it. And I just thank you, God, for the sun that pokes through the clouds and brings brightness to our lives. Just like, Lord, you have brought light to our lives, and I thank you for that. Lord, there are very ominous things that we look at here in the passage today. But in all of it, I pray that we can recognize that you are our refuge, and it is to you that we need to turn. I also pray that this church and each member of this church and each person who hears these words will know this. It is our function as church members, as believers, to share the gospel with as many people as possible so that we might take them with us when you return to this earth. I just pray that we would do that and be about that business. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, among the things that what I just read to you, some people disagree about is this. Some say that everything that I just read to you has already taken place, that the abomination of desolation that's spoken of in the book of Daniel actually took place in 70 AD when the Romans destroyed the temple. And that would certainly be a desecration or an abomination to the Lord. There's also a time before all this when the king of Syria had taken over Jerusalem and sacrificed a pig on the altar of the temple. And many say that was the abomination of desolations. In the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 27, it is written that he, likely referring to the Antichrist, will bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and shall pour abomination on the desolate. Now, most of the sources that I've read believe that all of what we've read here is mid-tribulation. It's begun, and that the abomination of desolation spoken of is the Antichrist. He himself is the abomination of desolation. And he's going to come to power with a lot of support and with great promise. In fact, however, the Antichrist is a minister of Satan and will bring great destruction upon the earth. Others believe that the tribulation's been ongoing ever since Jesus ascended, that we are in the middle of the tribulation right now. The book of Revelation gives us more detail about the Antichrist. I want to read this to you from Revelation 13, verse 5. It says, "And he, the Antichrist, was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Now there's a lot here. First of all, as already stated, whatever and whenever this happens, it is clearly no surprise to God. He had John record this in Revelation 2,000 years ago. He had Daniel record this in the book of Daniel many hundreds and maybe even a few thousand years prior to that. So God is not surprised by the Antichrist. In fact, it's part of the plan for the end times. And although he will be given a measure of authority and people will be quite taken with him for a time, his time is limited. Now, Scripture's filled with all kinds of cryptic things about timing. Like in Daniel, it speaks about 70 weeks, and this shall take place. Well, we know it's been more than 70 weeks since Daniel wrote that, and so it didn't literally mean 490 days. Does 42 months mean 42 months? I really can't give you an answer if that's exactly what it means, but here's what we need to take from it. The power of the Antichrist is limited, and the time that he'll be in power is limited. 42 months is what it says. In verse 14, Jesus told those who were living in Judea at the time to flee to the mountains. Well, like this, and there are like so many other scriptures, there are multiple interpretations. In 70 AD, when the Roman army came in and destroyed the temple, the best thing to do if you were living in Jerusalem at that time was to flee, to get out of Judea. And that might be what is meant here. But another interpretation is that those who will be persecuted by the Antichrist should flee instead to the actual Christ, that we should run to him for refuge, flee from the evil one and go to the place that we know provides safety and comfort and security, which is Jesus. Proverbs 18:10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." Psalm 18, verse 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge," in other words. So it will be possible. Will it be possible, I should say, that people will be able to be saved, come to Christ during the tribulation? In Revelation, again, John is asked if he knows, he sees some people who are clothed in white robes. And he's asked there by one of the angels, "Do you know who these are?" And he says, "No, only you know." And Revelation 7:14, it says, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So what John is seeing as he writes this in Revelation is people who will come to Christ only after having been confronted with the great tribulation. Well, you and I may know this. I hope you do. Many times when we're going through our own tribulations, our own difficulties, whatever they happen to be, that's when we turn to Christ. We might think we can get along without him during the good times, during the times when everything is going just like we want it to go, and we don't pay much attention to Jesus. But when troubled times come, and they do, and they are right now, that's when we really turn to Jesus, when we run to our refuge. So it's likely that even during the Great Tribulation, somebody is going to turn to Christ, and we're told that in Revelation here. In the next verses, the people are warned to run to their place of refuge quickly. Don't pack a bag. Verses 15 and 16. It says, Let him who is on the housetop not go down into the house, nor enter to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. Now, I've spoken often, and I'm sure you've heard it from other pastors as well, about the urgency of coming to Christ, because none of us are promised tomorrow. Regardless of your interpretation of these verses, there is an urgency to turn to Jesus now, to run to your refuge now. It says not to go down from the housetop, and I don't know how you're supposed to get down off the housetop. He says, don't go back down into the house, just run, you know. I remember back in grade school that we used to have fire drills, and that's the only kind of drills we had back when I was in school. We didn't have tornado, we didn't have intruder drills, we just had fire drills. And the teacher, we always knew when it was going to come, and the teacher told us one time, we're going to have a fire drill, and when you hear the bell ringing, do not stop to gather your things. Don't gather your books, anything like that. Just get in line and follow me out the door. And I'll never forget one time when we were in second grade, one of the girls went out to get her coat off of the hook as we went outside. And boy, did she get in trouble. The teacher really got after her because she didn't follow instructions. She didn't go immediately to her place of refuge. Well, we're told in other scripture that Jesus is going to return like a thief in the night, unexpectedly, no prior warning. And we're not talking necessarily here in Mark 13 about when Jesus comes back, but Jesus himself says here, if you're on the roof, don't go back down into your house. If you're in the field, don't go back to get your clothes. If you're in second grade, don't stop to get your coat. Run to your place of refuge. Get there quickly. Get to safety and to shelter as soon as possible. And I really think the message for us here today is, don't wait till that moment of urgency hits to run to your refuge, to your place of safety and shelter, to your rock and your fortress. Go now to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. Turn to him even if you're a believer already, because we need to turn to him in these troubled times. Don't put it off another moment if you've never turned to Jesus, because again, we're not promised tomorrow. Most believe that the people being addressed here in verses 15 and 16 probably did not yet know the Lord, and this is their last chance. Don't wait until that moment to decide to make Jesus your Lord. Verses 17 and 18, these verses have always troubled me. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight might not be in winter. I want to start at the end. Pray that your flight might not be in winter. I've studied up on this, and I've never been to Israel. Still hope to go someday. But I read that winter in Israel, in the very coldest parts of the lower-lying areas, sometimes might get below freezing. And so we're not talking about running through a blizzard here necessarily, but he does say to run to the mountains. And in the mountains, it sometimes gets very cold and often snows. So obviously a difficult journey would be made even more difficult in the wintertime. And again, this shows us, because this is Jesus speaking, no one knows the day or the hour. Jesus didn't know if it would be in winter or in spring or hurricane season. He didn't know that at the time. So he didn't know if it would come in winter or not. But then he said, woe to those who are pregnant or nursing. Well, I want you to imagine, first of all, the difficulty of fleeing to the mountains when everyone else is anyway. But imagine trying to run to the mountains for safety while you're pregnant or while you're nursing. I love history, and I like to read about the Holocaust, not because I like the Holocaust, but it just fascinates me that all those things could have happened in a country that claimed to be Christian. But we've got our own problems here. But the idea was, in many of the books that I've read about people who were being hidden by somebody else, hiding in the attic or hiding under the floorboards and that kind of thing. And anybody who was pregnant or anybody who had a small baby in hiding had a particular disadvantage. You might be able to convince a 3-year-old, not easily, but might be able to convince him to be quiet when somebody came to the house looking for people. But you can't tell a baby to be quiet. Babies cry when they're hungry, and they cry when they're wet, and they cry when they just cry, right? And so it was woe for those people, because many times a crying baby is what gave them away. As we go through these passages in Mark, we have to remember that all of this is taking place before Jesus returns. And again, I know that there's disagreements about that. When we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 about the Lord himself descending with a shout and with the sound of a trumpet and with the voice of an archangel, most believe that's when Jesus is going to return and take his people with him. But there are those who believe that's not Jesus returning. He's going to be up in the clouds. He hasn't come back to earth yet. But he's coming for his people. And those who have died and those who are alive and remain will be taken up into the clouds with him. And again, I can't tell you which is right. I'm not going to take a position here necessarily. But here in Mark are the words of Jesus himself. And he says, these things will happen before I return. Verse 19. For in those days there will be tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the creation, which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. And I think that's pretty clear. You think you've got tribulation now, and it is difficult. But Jesus says that before he returns, there will be tribulation unlike anything that has ever taken place since God created the world. And I want you to think about that. Think about all the tribulations that have taken place. The Great Flood, that was a tribulation, and very few people survived that. The persecution of Christians during the Roman times, that's just minor league stuff compared to what's coming. The Holocaust that I've already mentioned will pale in comparison to what is coming. The tribulation of the end times is going to exceed anything that we can even begin to imagine. And I pray that we as believers will be taken up before that. But we're going to look ahead just a little bit to something we'll cover in 2 weeks in verses 24 and 26 through 26. It says, after the tribulation, then Jesus will return to gather his people. Just a reminder, I know that some believe that the great tribulation has already taken place. In fact, that we're in the midst of it right now. Regardless of when it is or what it is, we need to be ready. We need to be followers of Christ in any event, if this comes to pass while we're still on this earth. And then verse 20, and unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. Well, I read this about that particular verse, that when Jesus speaks of future events, the purpose is not to scare us, not to have us try to set timelines for when it's going to take place. When Jesus speaks about future events, the purpose is to change our present behavior, to get us to doing what it is he's called us to do. None of this should be necessarily perceived as a threat, but instead it should be perceived as instruction. Jesus speaks here of the elect, which is another word about which there's a lot of interpretations. The elect are the chosen ones, and the chosen ones are those who have accepted Christ as their Savior and become his followers. And whether that's predestined or just pre-known, I can't tell you. But we're talking about the people who have chosen Christ because he has chosen them. And what we need to focus on here is that for the elect, for the believers, the days of the tribulation, Jesus says here, are shortened. There will be an end to that time. Today is the ninth Sunday that we've been unable to meet together, approaching something like 60 days since the initial call to avoid public contact. And I'll tell you, it's been a tribulation. I know you all know that. It's been difficulty. It's been greatly difficult. Worse for some than for others. But here's the deal. There is coming an end to this tribulation. I don't know when it'll be. I don't know what the markers will be. But I just can't imagine that this is what it's going to be like forever. Jesus is going to shorten the days of our tribulation and that great tribulation. He said here that if the days had not been shortened, then no one could be saved. No one could live through this. I like to look at it like this. I was saved in April of 1969. Jesus could have come back in March of 1969. And had he done that, then I wouldn't have been saved. And I would have spent eternity in hell. But he did delay. He waited until after that time, and he's waited 50 some years since that time in order that many more might be saved. Still, today, there are millions, if not billions, of people who need to come to Jesus. When Jesus returns, and he will return, it'll be too late for people who've never accepted him. Now, he tells us in these last few verses, there's going to be people coming along saying, hey, I'm Jesus, or there's Jesus, or whatever. But there's going to be no doubt about Jesus is Jesus when he returns. He's going to come in the clouds with a shout, and everybody will hear it. Everybody will know it. And verses 21 through 23 say that there will be many who claim to be Jesus, claim to have the answers, may even show signs and wonders. And even the elect, the chosen ones of God, the ones who've accepted Christ, may be deceived by some of these false prophets. But Jesus said this in verse 23, "Take heed, see, I have told you all things beforehand." And we'll look more into that in a couple of weeks when we finish this up. But what this all boils down to is this: Jesus told us these words, these future predictions, to change our present behavior. And the time to run to your refuge, to run to Jesus, is now, today. Not when all these things start coming to pass. And that's why Jesus told us these things, so that our present behavior will be changed. Take heed. See, he has told you all these things beforehand. Jesus is your refuge. Run to him. And if you've never done that, I know that this is still not the normal way that we do things, but I just want to invite you to contact me, to contact Evan or one of the deacons or somebody if you have questions, or if you want to come to Jesus as your Savior, run to him as your refuge. And we can't do it the normal way, but I invite you to do it in the best way that we know how. Just make contact with us and we'll get together and pray about it and do our best to give you assurance, that blessed assurance, that you are saved, you are one of the elect. And meantime, folks, those of us who are members of this church, those of us who are just attenders in this church, our job is to tell the world about the refuge that Jesus is. And I pray that we'd get about that business. Let's pray. Father, once again, I come to you just asking, Lord, for your mercy and your grace upon this church and upon this nation. I pray for our leaders that proper and correct decisions are made, decisions, Lord, that are in alignment with your will for us. And I just pray, God, that truly we can get back together soon. But Lord, I pray for this present tribulation, and in the midst of it, that we recognize that we still have a job to do. We are still the church. We are still called to reach out to others. And I pray, God, again, if there be one here in this congregation today or someone listening online later, that if there be one who needs to come to Jesus as Lord and Savior, that they wouldn't put it off until we can get together. Lord, we'll get together with them in whatever way we can. I just pray, God, for your continued blessings upon this church. I pray for Evan and Liz as they prepare to make this big change in their life. And Lord, I pray for Ramona and I too, as we also are preparing for this big change in our lives in about 3 weeks, that you would just bless this time together. I thank you, Lord, for your love for us. And I pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.